Welcome to the Misophonia Podcast. You're listening to episode 15, season 2. My name is Adil Ahmad, and I have misophonia. This week I'm talking to Christos, yet another resident of England, though originally from Greece. We talk about everything from metalcore music, telling our friends and partners about miso, anxiety attacks, mandatory army duties in Greece, and how to badly injure your hand when punching a door after a trigger. Throughout this chat, Christos brings up past guests he has listened to and gleaned advice from, like Gilles, Claire, and the other guests from the UK. It just hit home to me how great our community is, and after everything that's happened in 2020, I just want to hang out with more miso people as society opens up. I'm already prioritizing making plans to hang out with misophones. Kind of on that note, I'm still thinking of doing some kind of group call using Facebook Rooms. So if you want to jump on the Misophonia Podcast Facebook group, you can request to be added to the page's group. That'll make it easy to invite you to a call. I want to do a shout out from Miso List again. This week it's Rescue Squad Design, a creative services agency with 25 years of experience in theater production and directing, writing, design, ebook and print publishing, events, artifact crafting, experience creation, and much more. They especially enjoy bizarre and unusual creative projects, so you can find their link on misolist.com. That's rescuesquad.design. All right, now here's my conversation with Christos. Chris, welcome to the podcast. Good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me as well.
Yeah, I've had a I guess do you wanna just maybe tell the listeners where you're located?
Yeah, sure. Just first of all, before we start, I really want to say thank you for what you're doing. Actually, I've actually even emailed you about this, and I think it's really good, and it's helped me a lot, and I'm sure it's helping other people a lot. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I'd really appreciate people like you.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. And it's great. It's always great to hear that it's just helping people even in a small way, even just kind of hearing other, being able to relate to other people, I think helps a lot. So that's great. And thanks for coming on and kind of, giving back.
Yeah, sure. I think it's important to actually do our part as well. So it's not only that's going to be people like you that are going to be doing podcasts and stuff like that. It's actually us that need to be talking about these issues to people that don't know anything about it and just spread awareness. That's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't know yet that they have it. Yeah. So you said you were, I guess, we were talking earlier, you were in London or England or?
So first of all, I'm from Greece. But I live in England. I live in Cambridge, actually. So I'm just an electrical engineer in Cambridge here.
Great. Okay. Yeah. And, as you've probably heard from other podcasts, there's a lot of engineers that have misophonia. So maybe we can get into that as well. So you are from Greece and you moved to England for work, basically?
So I moved to England 3 years ago. So then I did a master's. And when I actually got my master's degree, I started working as an electrical engineer. It's been pretty good for me, to be honest. I'm really happy about how my life has turned. It's pretty nice. I wasn't expecting it when I left Greece because it was I just don't like it here. I'm going to leave my job and go to England. And it worked out great, actually.
So you left Greece. Was it quite misophonia related or just in general?
No. It was just the situation in Greece is not ideal. Actually, I don't know where you're from. When I was looking up and I couldn't find where you're from.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Minnesota, United States, so we're going through all right. crap right now as we speak.
But I can see that in the news.
Yeah. And so you said your life turned around for the... And did you mean work-related? What were you doing for work or just generally English?
So basically it was the economic crisis in Greece that made the whole thing happen for me because I had a job as an engineer in Greece, actually, and I just wasn't quite happy with it, so I decided to leave and come to England and try to find something better for me. So it was pretty out of the blue when that happened. I took the decision within a month and I just left. So it was pretty nice. It wasn't misophonia related, the reason I left. But I think it's a good thing because it turned out for the best, because I think that I had more problems when I was in Greece, because people, they just are not as aware, I guess. I've seen better things happening here in England. So when I talk to someone, they are just more understanding. So like, I would never dare to speak to my boss in Greece about it, but I have told my boss here in England that I have this problem.
And what did they say?
So he's actually really nice. So I decided to tell him when I start, like 3 months after I started. And I didn't want to get
getting triggered. And
yeah, so basically, yeah. Like I've listened to your podcast quite a lot. So I know that most people wear headphones all the time at work. Like, it's impossible not to wear them, basically. So
yeah.
I wanted to tell him that I don't want you to think that I'm disrespectful or that I don't want you to talk to me or anything like that. I'm wearing headphones for this. And that reason, I told him what it was called, what this sort of disorder is called, and what it does to me. But I didn't have like a 1 hour chat about it. It was like a 10 minute thing. And he said, of course, you can wear headphones, whatever makes you, you know, like work better. I told him that I cannot concentrate and I'm not as productive when I'm not wearing my headphones. So he was really nice about it. Although I was actually discussing it earlier with my brother today, that I believe that at some point we should spread as much awareness as we can so that people that have these sort of problems can be diagnosed and have their own private space at work, or have the privilege to work from home.
Yeah, exactly. And as you probably heard, if you've listened to a lot of podcast mm-hmm. episodes, I'd like to get this in the minds of HR, like human resources, so that they kind of look for it, maybe, or at least expect to have a conversation with. I expect to have people come up to them.
Yes.
Make people feel comfortable to employees feel comfortable to come up to them and talk about it, and then have some solutions ready, like what you said, private space, or at least a place to go to part-time. Mm-hmm. Headphones is an easy one. It doesn't even cost that much.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing, is as I told you, like, I wouldn't even dare saying something like that in Greece, because things are difficult, to be honest. And so if you are, you know, that problematic person, basically, it's so easy for them to just sack you and just get someone else, which is very sad. So they would be like, yeah, okay, sure, there are like 15 other people waiting to get a job. Why would I have someone that has a problem? You know, I'm sorry to say it this way. I don't know if it's, but we're all the same boat. So that's why I'm saying it this way.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have, there are, you know, some countries have legal recourses, but it sounds like in Greece it's just like you're on your own, and the boss can do whatever they want and just kind of fire you for maybe, well, I don't know about any reason, but this would be one that they can easily get rid of you for. So
yes,
yeah, definitely can be some insecurity there. So in Greece, you were being, you know, triggered a lot, and you just didn't have anything to protect yourself with, right?
Yes, I was quite lucky, because when I was in Greece, I was a technician, so I wouldn't be in an office as much, and I would be like working in random places, doing installations, electrical installations. But so basically, if there was a sound that was triggering me, I could go somewhere else for a bit and do something else and cable something else. But I don't have that freedom right now, because I'm stuck at my desk, sort of. So I was quite lucky in that sense. But also, I don't know, it's just a bit weird that no one knows about it. So recently, I announced it to my Greek friends that I have this sort of problem. And literally none of them had ever heard about it, which is, I don't know, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, none of them had heard about it. None of them came up to you and said, I might have this kind of thing. It was just completely foreign.
Yes, there was one of them that said that, oh, my girlfriend actually gets triggered by sounds, but she wouldn't even know that it has a name. And she, so it's kind of hard because when I started explaining to people what it is, I didn't have a very good way of explaining it. So it would be like, yeah, he just gets angry. But yeah. Now I did a bit of research of how to actually say it to people in a more scientific way, let's say. So
yeah, how's that?
Yeah, it actually works great because everyone seems to be so understanding, and they're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know that existed. Why didn't you tell me for so long? But obviously, like, if you're with friends that you've been friends since you were a child, if you actually say, you will get made fun of, or they will start mimicking the sounds just to, you know, to annoy you, to piss you off. These things happen quite a lot. So I explained them that for a while I didn't actually know how to be calm about it and explain it in a nice way so that, you know, I don't get made fun of. So now I'm feeling a bit more mature, although the symptoms are worse. So like it's getting worse and worse as the time passes by. But actually they were all great. They were really nice about it. So I'm really glad about that. I really appreciate it.
That's great. And have you gone back to visit them since you kind of came out?
No, not really. But we talk on a daily basis because we go online, and especially now with the lockdown, you know, on Saturday night, for example, we'll be on Skype or Discord, and we'll have a beer and chat and play Pictionary or something silly like that.
Right.
So sometimes I would tell them, guys, can you stop like chewing carrots or whatever you're doing? And
right.
The person would do it even louder. So I actually had to sit down and, you know, tell them what this is about. I actually told them that I'm going to speak to you as well. So because I really want them to understand that this is not a small problem. This is not something that annoys two people in the world. This is a serious thing that's happening. And it's nice to know that there is money going on research right now, and the conventions and the convention in October, all those things that are happening. So
what kind of reactions were with your friends? Would you just bottle up and kind of glare at them? Back in the day as you were growing up, I'm curious. And we'll go back to your origin story too. I'm just trying to go step by step backward. What kind of experiences did you have? Were you being kind of teased, and or were you, you know, how was your reaction basically growing up?
So in general, I am the guy that gets made fun of a lot. Like, so I'm that guy because I don't care too much. So like, I always laugh when people make fun of me. So people would do it even more to me. So consciously, I was, when they were doing it, when they were actually mimicking the sounds, I was trying to laugh, but you could see that it was fake, and I was actually shaking, like trembling, and you know the feeling.
Yeah. Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I was trying to hide it and maybe escape it somehow, which is basically what most people with misophonia do. They just try to escape.
The flight.
They just instantly leave the place. I cannot say that it's happened to me like loads. So I don't want to say that, you know, it's been terrible. But it's happened many times, obviously. Also, the weird part is that even to friends that I have explained it to, they would still do it. So I have a really close friend that I have told him that I have this problem, and sometimes he will call me and he will be eating. And now I'm straight up, I'm going to tell him, why are you calling me while you're eating? Like, you know, this annoys me. And he might do it for fun or something like that, which is kind of weird to me. Like, I don't fully understand it, but I cannot hate the person because it's a great person at the same time, you know?
Right. So, and then going back to, your family life, is that kind of where it started for you back in the day?
I cannot really tell, but I believe that that's the case. So my father would make a lot of chewing noises. And I think that's how it started. So my brother has the same problem as me, but not in that extent, so it's not as intense with him. So he does get triggered, especially by chewing sounds, but my problem only starts with chewing sounds. So that's one of the million things that can actually trigger me.
Okay, so he's got that one trigger. Maybe it's not that intense, but you've got like the serious trigger for chewing, but also like, you know, all the other stuff that we have, that many of us have.
Yeah, so he will get annoyed by, you know, spoons and forks on plates and stuff like that. But nothing that will ruin his day or his night. If he goes to a restaurant, he will just get a bit annoyed, but he can get over it after a few minutes, and that's it.
Yeah.
But for someone that has it in a very intense level, it can ruin your whole day. Basically.
It's exhausting. Yeah.
It's exhausting. Absolutely. That's exactly the word I was looking for. It's exhausting. You finish work and you feel like you've worked for 15 hours straight for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, as you know, classic, like your dad kind of being a big trigger there. And did it start to expand to other triggers immediately, or did it take a while?
So I believe that first of all, I forgot to mention my mother as well, because
I guess I kind of assumed.
So my father does it excessively, like opening his mouth, but my mother doesn't even open her mouth, and it's still very loud. That some people just have more echo coming out of their mouth for some reason.
Oh yeah.
So I wouldn't even talk to them, for example, in the morning, and I would just go to my room and start swearing. So back then, I feel like it was more of anger that was taking over me, but now there are other emotions that have come into play, and physical triggers as well, mental as well. So I think that's when it started, and I think that was at the age of I remember it like at the age of 11, 12 years old, that started happening. Yeah. But to be frank with you, I only found out that this thing actually exists and other people have it like 6 years ago. So for many years, I didn't know anything about it. I
was right. Just, and did you just think that you were just, it was kind of like a teenage kind of angst or kind of like rebellion?
I was always thinking it's just going to finish at some point. It's just going to end. Like one day I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to be getting annoyed. That's going to be it.
Maybe just a phase or something. You thought you were going through a phase.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. Because I was always thinking there were those kids playing football outside of my house, and the sound of them kicking the ball was triggering me. So I was like, there's no way that when I have kids, this sound is going to trigger me, because it's going to be coming from my kids. By the way, I don't have children, but I'm just saying, you know. Right. But now, like the more the time passes, I feel more pessimistic about it, because the symptoms and the triggers just they keep adding up for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be pessimistic on your podcast. I was actually before we started.
I want you to be whatever. Yeah, I want you to be whatever you feel. So. Yeah. And what were you saying? You mentioned something earlier about physical and mental triggers. Did you mean physical and mental reactions to triggers, or are there certain physical or some triggers that you're talking about other than sound?
Yeah. So obviously, like as many people, I have the visual trigger as well.
Mesokinesia, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's the one thing. But when I'm talking about myself, it's not my heart rate goes up very quickly when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had not too many, but quite a few anxiety attacks, which I feel like especially one of them happened for a good reason. So when it actually finished, I actually felt good, because I was with my ex-girlfriend, and I'll sort of go through the story quite quickly.
Take your time. Go for it.
So yeah, I was with my girlfriend. She had a flatmate, and we were cleaning her kitchen after cooking, and at some point her flatmate started eating, and she's a loud chewer. So I instantly got the feeling that I have to leave the room. And
it was
very, very intense. So I was feeling that something bad is about to happen to me, like an anxiety attack. But I also felt like I had it under control. But then my girlfriend, that she didn't know by that time that I actually have this problem, she came into the room and she started shouting at me because I left her alone cleaning the kitchen.
Oh, so, okay. And your stress goes up on top of that. Yeah.
So I completely collapsed at that point and I started crying. I couldn't breathe very easily. And I had like a solid 10 minutes that I couldn't be myself and breathe and not stop crying. And the reason I said this happened for a good reason is that this was the time I explained to my girlfriend what my problem was and why I cannot be in that room. And she started being more understanding about it because she realized that it is actually a real problem.
Wow. Did you at that point you already knew that it had a name, or were you?
Yes, that was actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew because that was actually last year. So the more the time passes by, especially lately, I started saying it to more and more people because I want people to know. But before that, I was feeling ashamed. So I was feeling like if I get a girlfriend, my girlfriend will think that I'm weird and I'm not fun and she's not going to be around me because, for example, we cannot watch a movie and eat popcorn, for example.
Yeah.
So I was scared to say it to people for this reason. But and also one of the other panic attacks I had was again with my girlfriend, but she didn't know by that time. And because she didn't know, she was making noises that triggered me and I had another anxiety attack. So sort of helped, but I also listened to another person on your podcast. I think Gilles was his name.
He said
that then if you do that a lot, then the person keeps feeling guilty and you can sense that. You can sense that they're overthinking, that they don't want to make the noise. So you don't feel about that either. It's quite a tricky situation, actually.
Yeah, and kind of the stress kind of, I think it bounces back because now you're thinking about, now if they're trying too hard to stop, then it just becomes more of a conscious thing that you can't then get out of your mind.
Yeah, I also think, oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, I didn't, go on.
Yeah, and I also think that even if you tell them that this noise triggers you or that noise triggers you, there's still going to be another noise. So I feel like it loses the point if you keep telling them noises that trigger you. Especially as I told you, with my ex-girlfriend, she was, by the way, she's a great person. I feel a bit bad about talking, about only saying bad things about her, but she was a kind of person that was making quite a lot of noises. And I just couldn't be telling her every 2 minutes, this triggers me. So, you know, you don't want to be that person as well. It's kind of scary, actually. It really scares me sometimes. The fact that you plan your whole life around this thing, and sometimes you think that, how am I going to have a family? Or how am I going to be having dinner with my kids and my wife at some point?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you can hear with your ears, like it's you're always in danger. Yes. That's kind of what we think. I will say that, you know, the thing about the offspring, it doesn't. I have heard from people that it can't. I mean, in Jill's case, it became quite a trigger, but that's not in all cases actually. Because remember, it is kind of a fight or flight, and it thinks for a lot of people, their brain doesn't make the connection with their children. But there's always that risk.
You said it doesn't, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's some sounds that, if your kid makes it, it's not the same as if some adult made it. Mm. At least that's my experience, but yeah.
I've seen that it really has to do with which person is actually doing the sound. So, for example, if you really
right.
like someone, I don't know if you have the same thing, but if you really like someone, the sound doesn't trigger you as much. But if you really dislike a person, I don't know, from work, and you really don't like them, then it gets amplified for some reason, and you just want to do bad things or like swear or all those things.
Yeah.
But if the person is actually nice, you wouldn't mind explaining. So yeah, it's that thin line of actually being mature about it and realizing what this is about, and trying to keep calm, at
yeah.
least mentally, because physically.
So how do you try to keep calm? Like, one thing I've been doing recently is just trying to in advance, basically almost kind of like a checklist before I walk into a room. I try to tell my brain, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nobody's going to hurt you. Whatever happens, just get ahead of the sound, basically.
Oh, that's
and
good.
That has kind of helped in certain situations. Because what I think happens is, like, whenever these sounds happen, I'm kind of caught off guard. And then the brain connections just get into that loop. But if I can kind of get ahead of it and just tell my brain, look around, there's nothing here that's going to hurt you, it does make a bit of a difference, you know. So I'm trying to do that consciously more. I probably forget more often than I remember, but I don't know. That's one way I think it might be a good way to calm down. But I'm curious for you, like, how do you maintain a situation if you can't just leave?
Yes. So first of all, I'll tell you what I've tried and didn't work.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I don't know. It might work for some other people. It didn't work for
right,
me.
Right. Right.
Certainly.
Yeah.
So first of all, like other people, I've tried meditation. Definitely didn't work for me. I was actually very bad at it. Maybe I should have given it more time, because I had other issues while trying to do meditation, not only the sounds, because I feel like there's always going to be a sound, like it just never stops.
Yeah, one of the scenes in the Ricky Gervais show Afterlife season 2, I think the first episode has a good scene where they're trying to do meditation and yoga, and the instructor is a big trigger. It's kind of a funny scene for Misophones.
I haven't seen
Anyways,
that one.
Yeah.
After
I'll probably link to it in show notes. Yeah, it's called Afterlife. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, continue. So you tried meditation, no go.
Yeah, then the other thing is that when the sound was actually happening, I was trying to sort of relax my muscles, breathe,
yeah,
and try to get into a mental state that I'm saying to myself, don't worry, it's just the sound, it's nothing else. And that definitely doesn't work. And I've seen I cannot recall his name now, there's this what's the name of the person that does the conventions, actually?
Are you talking about Tom Dozier?
Yes, exactly. And I think he says that somewhere, that try to think that it's just the noise that's happening, that's nothing more than that. But for some reason, that doesn't do anything. It's still there, and it's still in my head, and it's still the only thing that I can hear for some reason. And also, I was going back to my ex-girlfriend, because she was actually quite nice and tried to read about this and help me. She read about this, and when it was actually happening, she turned to me and she said, Chris, just don't worry, it's just a sound. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't help me. Like, it doesn't do anything to me. Like, it's still there. I can still hear it, and I can still see the person doing it. So I feel like a weird thing that I always have in my head is that if the sound could actually be avoided, but it's still happening, it's worse for me. So if, let's say, a person is like dragging their feet and I can hear that, I know that sound like could be avoided, because they could just walk normally, they could just lift their legs enough so that that sound is not there. So if I know that the sound could be avoided, it gets even worse. And
that is just a cycle of anger that kind of like makes you more stressed out, I think. And then
exactly. So there's nothing that relaxes me really other than just blasting heavy metal music on my earphones,
yep.
And or leaving the place, which sometimes I have to admit I've been quite rude about it, because I just couldn't control it. Like my manager talking to me and just me saying, okay, I'm going to the toilet. And just,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a good excuse, or you're just like,
just the
I
toilet.
need to leave.
Yeah, just
Okay, okay.
I'm going
Yeah.
to. I'm sorry. Like I'm polite to say, I'm sorry. I just really need to go to the toilet. That's it. Like,
Right.
I don't know how polite
Yeah.
is that actually, but it works.
I can. There's a lot worse ways. That's
Yeah.
not that bad.
Yeah, and other things have happened to me that I actually used violence, but not on a person, like on a wall or a door
Yeah.
or stuff like that.
Have you
And
broken anything?
my hand.
You have broken your hand?
My knuckles basically, because
Yeah.
I punched the door really, really hard, and actually I didn't actually break it, but you know, it was injured for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
So
wow.
it's not ideal to do it, but you feel like you don't control it at the same time, because I always feel specific parts of my body tensing up, especially my right hand and my jaw tensing up. And that's the thing that you said before, it's exhausting. So for example, I never go to the movies. Obviously I cannot go to the cinema because of this thing. And I tried 2 years ago, once. I completely regretted it, but I ended up spending 2 hours watching a 2 hour movie, like almost in a panic attack for 2 hours and tensing up.
Yeah.
Not very fun.
Right.
So I just stopped. I've stopped completely with that. So you kind of have to adjust your life to that.
And do you live by yourself now?
I have a
Or
flatmate. I have one
yeah.
flatmate who is actually, she doesn't bother me at all, to be honest. She's really nice. There's only the dragging of her feet that sometimes, well, it's so she's very nice, but every Saturday and Sunday morning that I would like to sleep a bit more, as soon as
Yeah.
I hear that sound, I completely like get triggered and wake up. I don't know how our brain works and does this.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like someone smacking me on the head, basically, when I hear
Yeah.
your feet dragging. And I think that while that happens, like other sounds can trigger you as well, and they can get stuck in your head and then be one of the sounds that trigger you permanently. So
Yeah.
I
Oh,
think,
kind of like an association with
yeah, pretty much. I'm not very happy to have read that, because I read it somewhere and it said that when a sound is happening that's annoying you, so let's say that someone is typing on a keyboard, you're more likely to get triggered by other new noises too, new sounds too. So the first time that I read that, and I was at my office and someone was typing, the only thing I was thinking was, is there any other noise that could actually annoy me right now and be triggering me for the rest of my life? So it was kind of a
scary thought.
scary thought, mental game. And I was like, I really don't want another noise in there. So that's quite scary.
Yeah. So you live by yourself. You don't live by yourself. You got a housemate. She drags her feet. You'll break her legs. That should solve that problem. But that's great that you, that's a great step though, that you were actually able to, that you haven't like, you know, felt the, you haven't taken the step to kind of like run away and get your own place. You're at least managing that somewhat.
I have
being able to live with somebody else. That's promising that you can be around somebody else. You know, especially since you were kind of like maybe nervous about having a relationship, permanent relationship later. At least this is somewhat promising.
I have tried to find ways to deal with it. So I play the guitar, for example. So every time this happens, I just full distortion on my guitar. And
yeah, I was gonna say it's probably not an acoustic guitar.
No, it's just electric guitar, full distortion.
You have like
and
5 PV amps and Marshall. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's it. So that works really well, actually. And in general, music, like it's a weird thing, because another thing I tried to do is that when it happened, I actually tried to put like soft, something like a chill music play, but then I was feeling really uncomfortable, so I had to put metal music and something sort of angry in my ears.
Yeah.
So I don't know why relaxing music doesn't work for me, But if I actually go to the office and start with relaxing music or brown noise, because I listen to brown noise for most of the day, yep. actually.
Right.
And I actually, you gave me the idea because you have it on your podcast as well.
Yeah.
So
I did it as an experiment. I'm glad it's working. Yeah.
No, it's amazing. Seriously, I'm so happy. I actually listened to your first podcast and you were saying I'm using brown noise. So great idea. Well done for that.
That makes you feel great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's.
Well, what kind of? Yeah. What kind of bands are you listening to for your distortion?
Right. So so they're metalcore bands. So quite heavy. So I listen to The Architects. It's my favorite band.
Okay.
Fit for a King, Bring the Horizon, and anything basically that's very heavy metal with screaming and heavy guitars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I try to, when I go to the office, I try to play brown noise instead of heavy metal, because if you listen to heavy metal for 8 hours, you just get headaches constantly.
Right.
Which was one of the big problems I had when I was in the army, because in Greece the army is mandatory. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to the army for 10 months. And I was in there for 10 months, and it's a nightmare for people that have misophonia, because you have to sleep
close quarters
at least 20 more people. You have to eat with a whole army base, and you're constantly with other people. It's very hard to escape it as well.
Wow. Did you get more, what was that? Was it like the worst time of your life, basically?
It was, because I didn't get any sleep for 10 months, because there is so much snoring, basically. It was the most exhausting period of my life, definitely, because of all the snoring that was in the room and just.
Did you know about miso before you went in, or?
Yes, I did.
You did. Okay, at least you knew that, so at least you were somewhat prepared. I don't know.
That was quite helpful to know, but it's just so weird, because there are so many people in there that you don't like, because in the army it's mandatory to go, and there are people from all parts of Greece, so you don't get to choose, obviously, who you're going to be sleeping next to or who you are going to be eating next to, so none of those things. So you're not friends with them, you cannot explain them. You're friends with some of them, but not with all of them, so it happens a lot. It's not like you can wake people up if they're snoring. You cannot do anything about it. So my solution to it was to have music all night long, and obviously if you have music playing for 6 hours in your ears while sleeping, you cannot sleep. Like, you don't sleep. It's just a massive headache. That's it.
Right. Were there any other parts of the army that were challenging, like the training exercises or sitting home?
You mean misophonia wise, right?
Yeah, misophonia wise.
Not really. Like, mostly sleeping was the worst, but that could ruin your whole day, basically. But I mean, if you don't sleep, that's it. That's you cannot do anything else happily during the. And I don't know if you have the same thing, but the more tired you are, the effect is like amplified.
Absolutely.
Gets amplified. So. That's the thing. I feel like, for example, I've had the same thing at festivals and concerts. I like going to concerts like literally every week to see live music and live metal bands. And I feel like when there's live music, like, it doesn't bother me as much for some reason, which is quite weird. Even the visual.
Really? Okay. Does it bother you? Like, if, you know, people are talking in front of you. I know like metal concerts, you're not going to hear all the music's on, but I'm wondering if between songs and stuff, I know if it distracts me if I hear people talking behind me, like not paying attention to the music.
Yeah, the singing bothers me a lot, so I usually relocate quite a lot at concerts.
Yeah.
So I'm literally all over the place, but because of this. In general, they are the almost the only social places that I can have fun without actually getting angry quite often and getting triggered. So I'm very happy about the fact that I have actually found a place that I can be very happy and not like getting stressed about it, because there's so many times that you get stressed about going somewhere or being like, okay, in 5 minutes I'm gonna eat with that person, and then you start getting like anxiety and all those things because you don't want it to happen. So it's good to know that I can actually go there. Like to most of them I go by myself, because it's just a great place to escape, to not deal with sounds and not be with anyone else. So yeah, it's really glad about that. So it's good for each person to actually find at least one or two things to be able to escape.
That's a great trip. And how are you, also I guess we should maybe start to think about wrapping up here, although we can talk for a while. I did want to ask about, like, obviously you've had like girlfriends in England. Like, how's it like meeting new people in England, like making friends?
Yeah, it's actually a really nice country. I think it's many people don't like it, especially people that come from abroad and Mediterranean countries like mine, because the mentality is quite different. The weather is not as nice, but for some reason, like, people are like much more sociable. So if you go out, people are great. It's really easy to meet people in general. And I've had a girlfriend for 2 years, and I've met a few other people, and I'm really happy. Because it's so multicultural as well, especially London. There are people from all around the world, so there's not as much racism. Because let's face it, it exists everywhere, not just in the States that this is happening.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So I'm really glad.
Yeah, it's interesting. You probably know, I've had a few interviews with people from London just recently. So there seems to be a group of people who have misophonia, but are, you know, wanting to talk about it and kind of spread awareness.
Yeah, I actually listened to, it was a girl actually, I don't remember her name. There were a few,
Isabel and Lizzie recently, I think. Yeah, I think there's some more coming up too.
Oh, nice. So yeah, it's a pretty good place to be. I am thinking of moving to other countries as well, just because I want to live in different places in the world, you know, because why not? Like, it's so easy these days to do that, so why not? I hope I didn't make this podcast very pessimistic, because before we started, I was thinking that I don't want to actually be the person that makes other people less happy, if that makes sense. So
it's totally fine. I mean, I just want people to it's really just candid conversations about misophonia, like real people. So I think the most powerful thing is if people can relate to it. I don't want a podcast that's just kind of like rosy, kind of like always just kind of like bright side kind of thing. I think people will relate to having breakdowns and punching their door with their knuckles. I mean,
yeah, because you had that girl Claire. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you again. You had that girl Claire that was a quite intense podcast, I remember. She talked about suicide and things like that, which is it obviously helps to know that these things happen. And for example, as we were saying before, that in terms of awareness, that I could play this podcast to a friend of mine and he can actually see what it is about instead of just anger and hatred of sound. So it's good to see that there is the intense level of it and the very extreme level of misophonia. I'm not happy that a person has it, obviously, but I'm happy to know that as the time passes by, it's going to become more and more, known anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And stuff like, things like you coming on. You've heard a lot of podcasts and gone a lot of them. Is there, maybe as we're wrapping up, is there anything you'd like to tell, people who are listening to your story?
Yeah, I'm not a mentor or anything, but what I would like to say is that it's good to try and keep a positive mindset. I know it's very difficult and you sort of have to change your whole life and like adapt it around this thing. But it's really important to keep the mindset and being like, okay, but I know that when this finishes, I'm going to do something good and I'm going to feel better about myself and about the situation, because this is not my whole life. I can do other things and evolve as a person instead of actually having to deal this my whole day, like the whole day, sorry. So yeah, just trying to stay positive. That's the thing. And
that's great.
And what's happening actually makes us feel more and more positive with all of these, with the conventions and the research. I think there was like, I might be completely wrong, but there's like $8 million in research right now for misophonia. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, there's a foundation that's been, that I don't know what the number is, and forget the name of the foundation, but I'll try to find links for the notes. But yeah, there's been millions of dollars unlocked recently, and they're accepting applications. So yeah, I think there's gonna be a lot of interesting stuff coming out over the next 2 or 3 years, and I try to pass along any kind of studies that are looking for participants.
And also I'm not sure if someone has mentioned this to your podcast or if it was another website I read about this app that I'm using a lot. It's called Relax Melodies. Don't know if you know it.
People have mentioned stuff like that. I don't know if it's the exact same one, but yeah, why don't you tell me about it?
Right, so this app is called Relax Melodies, and it has all sorts of sounds, like brown noise sort of sounds, like rivers and rain and waterfalls, and you can basically add these sounds on top of each other and mix them to levels that you like. So you can have river and rain, but you can, for example, turn down the volume of the river and just listen to the rain a bit more. And it has like all sorts of noises and sounds in there, so you can have anything you want. It also has some like ASMR stuff, which I don't think that anyone is fond of on this podcast.
Some people have been, but yeah, but overwhelmingly, I think it's a no.
Yes.
But there have been a couple people who've liked certain sounds. But
Okay. That's interesting, actually, because I don't know. I just hate it. Like, I don't know how people listen to ASMR. Like, but it has seriously so many sounds, and you can make something really nice. So, for example, going back to what I was saying about my flatmate, in the morning, instead of playing brown noise, I prefer listening to rivers or a waterfall. It's nicer.
Oh,
it's more natural.
So you have it on the app on your phone, and then you just stick your headphones on.
Yeah, and
I wonder if you can set an alarm or something where it's like when you wake up, it just kind of plays, and then maybe throughout the day, maybe it matches your routine.
Maybe. That's actually a really good idea. You should make an app.
I think I will.
But yeah, I just put it on my earphones, basically, and I keep sleeping, and helps a lot. That's it. Yeah. It's pretty helpful, and I think you can also customize your profile when you actually set up the app in the beginning, but I'm not sure because I downloaded it a few months back and I don't remember, but I remember something like that.
Gotcha. Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to look for that see what sounds are on it, see if it helps. Well, cool, Chris. I want to say thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much as well, and I will keep listening to your podcast and helping out and try to do what you're doing from my end. And I hope you will keep doing what you're doing, because it's great, actually.
Absolutely,
I'm going to actually post your podcast so that more people will see it, because we really have to start doing this, if we can, to start sharing it, and so that more people can actually see what's going on.
Thank you, Chris. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm prioritizing miso friends from now on. And Chris, if you're around here, you would definitely be high on my list of people to hang out with. Look in the show notes for lots of links about things we touched on. You can email me at hello@misophoniapodcast.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Misophonia Podcast or Twitter at Misophonia Show. Don't forget to check out the Miso List at misolist.com. Music, as always, is by Moby. And until next week, wishing you peace and quiet.